Well, good morning. It's great to see you. If you would, please take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, if you don't have a Bible, there should be a black Bible right in front of you. And 1 Corinthians chapter 9 is on page 957. And just to give you the context for this morning's passage and just to give us a little bit of a running start, we saw in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 the principle that love limits liberty. Love limits liberty. Remember that? So, for example, if in our convictions we don't have a problem with drinking, and that's something that we've addressed in our own hearts, if we know another brother or sister that that's not their personal conviction, then especially with them, we're going to refrain because love limits liberty. But then we ask the question, how does this thing work? I mean, it's great on paper, isn't it? I mean, just that idea, love limits liberty. Wow, what a slogan. But how exactly do we pull this off in our lives? And then we saw in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the first 18 verses, 17 or 18 verses, we saw that passage metaphorically looked each of us in the eyes. And you remember what it said? Are you serious about this? You really want to limit your liberty because of love? You're not playing now. You want to do this? And then it looked at us, God's word did, and it said, what? Give up your rights. And that's not easy to do. Relinquish your rights. Forsake your rights. And I know just talking to many of you from that message a couple weeks ago that you had great conversations in your community groups related to that idea about forsaking or relinquishing your rights. And it led to more questions. And what I love about the Bible is that it anticipates the questions that we have. And this morning, the passage that I'm going to read, that we're going to go over, it asks the question, why? I mean, why? That's such a great question to ask. We should always be asking ourselves, why? Why do we do what we do? So in the case of giving up our rights, why? Why should we do it? And this morning's passage answers that question. So with that in mind, please hear the word of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 23. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you. Thank you for this moment that we can gather together as your people. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to remove the distractions in our hearts and minds. We pray that our hearts would long for things eternal. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the greatest truths that the Bible says about you and me who are Christians is that we have been taken from one kingdom and we have been transferred into another kingdom. It's just phenomenal. Colossians 1:13 and 14 puts it this way, that God has delivered us from the domain of darkness, that's this kingdom over here, and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. In other words, you and I, we were not born Christians. Okay, I hope you realize that. You were not born a Christian. You became a Christian when God saved you. And then you responded by trusting Jesus Christ. And when that happened, your sins were forgiven. And you were transferred, you were taken from this kingdom over here, and you were brought over to this kingdom over here. And for those of you, again, who are Christians, this is where we're at. But here's the question that I want you to think about this morning. What about the folks we left behind over here? What about these people? What about your family members? People you grew up with who are still part of this kingdom? What about your buddies you used to play ball with back in the day who are still part of this kingdom? What about your neighbor that you wave an occasional hello to who are still in this kingdom? What about them? What about your colleague that you share office space with? What about them? The truth of the matter is that it is so easy for you and me to become so entrenched with this kingdom over here that we forget about the people who are still left in this kingdom over here. And we should not be surprised at all by this phenomenon. When we become Christians, we become part of a new community. That's what we are over here. And we have new values, and we have new aspirations, and we have just a whole new way of looking at the world. And we want to be surrounded with other people who share those same values. And by the way, that's what made missing church so difficult for all that time. Because we didn't have each other in the same way that we have each other right now. And so we missed that. But getting back to the point, it's so easy to forget about those people over here. And the longer that you and I are Christians, the more likely it is to forget those folks over here. But having said that, God has also called us to remember those people who are still in this domain. And He has called us to win souls, to be very intentional about building bridges, to leave our comfort zone. And it is, it's very comfortable. But He's called us to leave our comfort zone and build bridges back into this kingdom, back into this community, so that we can pull them with us. Now, I say that because winning souls is not only the main idea of this morning's text. That's the main idea. Win souls. It's not only the main idea of the passage, but it's also the reason why you and I should give up our rights. You want to know why you should give up your rights? Have you been wrestling with that? I have been. I don't want to give up my rights. I like my rights. You don't want to know why we're called to give up our preferences? To forsake our entitlements and our benefits, it's for these people. That's why we do it. And just so that you know that I'm getting this from the text, look at verse 19. This is Paul speaking, the Apostle Paul. He says, "For though I am free from all, I have been made a servant to all, that I might," what? "Win." Win more of them. Do you realize what a remarkable statement that is? It's just amazing. He says, "For though I am free from all." What does he mean by that? He's saying, I could get paid for my services as a preacher, but I'm going to forego that. In other words, he's saying, technically, I'm my own boss. I'm self-employed. And those of you who are self-employed, you know all the perks to self-employment. But then he turns it around. He says, I'm not going to take advantage of those perks. Even though I'm my own boss, I'm not going to act like my own boss. Rather, he says, I'm going to make myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. And just to punctuate that point, that he wants to win souls, that word win appears 5 times in our passage. Win. We saw it there in verse 19. We'll see it again in verse 20. He's going to win Jews. He's going to win Jews. And by that, he's talking about those who are ethnically and culturally and religiously Jewish. But he didn't stop there. He's going to win those under the law. By that, he means those who converted to Judaism. And he's not going to stop there. Verse 21, he's going to win those outside the law. That's just the category of those who are non-religious. They had categories back then, by the way. And then in verse 22, he's going to win the weak. And that's just those who are helpless, either physically or spiritually. All in all, with each of those groups, he is summarizing all of the unbelievers in Corinth. There is no other segment of unbelievers in Corinth that fall outside of those 4 groups. It's all of the people who are still back here. His mind is, I'm here, but I haven't forgotten you over here. I'm going to win you. Now, some of you who know your Bibles are thinking, we don't win anybody. We don't save anybody. It's God who saves people. In fact, this morning, my daughter knew that I was preaching on this text, and several days ago she said, what's the theme of your message? I said, win souls. And so she must have been thinking about it, because this morning, not too long ago, she comes up to me and she says, Dad, I don't think we win souls. I think God wins souls. Go get ready for church. Just go. And she's right. She's right. You and I do not win souls. But what do we see in verse 22? Look. Paul says, I have become all things to all people, that by all means, what pronouns used? I. That I might save some. So for sure, when we're talking about people who are still in the domain of darkness, absolutely, we're not saving them. God is saving them through Jesus Christ. When he brings it to their hearts and their minds, you need a savior. And then they respond by trusting Jesus. And then they too are transferred over to the kingdom of light. It's God. But you know what? He uses us as his instruments in his hands to form bridges between our kingdom and their kingdom. And so, yes, theologically, let's make sure we're straight on that. It's God who saves. However, he uses us as instruments in the process. Which begs the question, doesn't it? How are you doing in the category of winning souls? Not your spouse, not your kids, not your parents, not when you were in some college ministry back in the day, but like now. How are you doing in this area of winning souls? Is it important to you? Do you think about these people over here? Does it register to you? Are you intentional about trying to leave your comfort zone and build bridges back into where they're at? And I would imagine for most of us, the answer is, it's not going all that well. Because evangelism is difficult. Sharing your faith is not easy. Sharing the gospel can be challenging. And that's true. And it's also difficult to leave our comfort zone. We like each other and we should. It's beautiful. What we have here is amazing. To be able to sing like we just did, it's fantastic. I love being with you and I love worshiping with you and I love serving the Lord with you. And I love bumping elbows with you and just experiencing the Christian life with you. But it becomes too easy. It becomes too comfortable. And all of us can fall in that trap. And then we forget about them. And we have to reverse that. We really do. As a church, we have to change that. As individuals, we have to change that. And this text helps us. It helps us grow in our efforts to win souls. And I want to share with you from this text three characteristics or three attributes that I think if you and I apply, it's going to help us reach back into this kingdom and pull some of these folks by the grace of God where we're at. Okay, do you see where we're going? Characteristic number one, adaptability. Adaptability. In other words, we've been taken from this kingdom to this kingdom. We've learned a whole new set of values, new attitudes, even a new language. And so we, in our efforts to reach back and build bridges to this kingdom over here, we have to adapt. We need to adapt. So what do I mean by adaptability? I mean adapting your life, adapting your preferences, adapting your language. And again, just so that you know, I'm getting this from the text. The word became or become shows up five times. And I think that that's synonymous with adaptability. Verse 20, Paul says to the Jews, I became or I practiced adaptability as a Jew. Also in verse 20, to those under the law, I became or I practiced adaptability as one under the law. Verse 21, to those outside the law, I became as one outside the law. Again, reinforcing adaptability, accommodations, flexibility. Verse 22, to the weak, I became weak. And then to sum it up in verse 22, Paul tells us that he has become all things to all people. In other words, he's adaptable. He's adapting his life, his preferences to those in this kingdom. Now, just so that we're all on the same page, to be adaptable does not mean that we camouflage our Christian faith. We're not trying to fake people into accepting us. We're not chameleons that change our appearances in order to dupe unbelievers. Okay, that's not what it means to be adaptable. Rather, when the Apostle Paul says he has become all things to all people, when he has adapted his life to others, he has enough wisdom to realize that there are segments of the Corinthian population that are not where he is. And so he's got to accommodate that. And so how does he accommodate that? Well, the two probably easiest examples is just in his dietary habits. So most of you know this, but in case you don't, if you were one who was Jewish, and particularly if you were one under the law, there were certain types of restrictions on what you could eat and what you could not eat. So his way of bridging back to this community, especially as it related to Jews and those who were converted to Judaism, was to curtail his diet. Well, that's easy enough. And then there was a whole other group who were not Jewish. They were under the category of not religious. And so what did he do with them? Well, I'll eat what's in front of me. No problem. Why? Because he didn't want to put any obstacles between himself and the gospel. And in the same way, I think you and I are called to accommodate or to adapt our lives and our preferences and our language in order to reach back to this group and bring them over to where we're at. And I don't want you to miss the heart behind this. Do you see his heart? It wasn't to earn points with God. It wasn't to earn his salvation. He was very confident in his salvation. He knew he was a Christian. His heart was a heart of compassion. He didn't see these folks as a project. That's the very worst thing that you can do in terms of evangelism. When you as a Christian and when I as a Christian, when we see this group as a project, they smell us. They know it a mile away that you're just trying to change them for whatever reason, but your heart's not in it. That was not the Apostle Paul. He had a heart for these people. He realized where he was at. He hated Jesus until God saved him and brought him over to this kingdom. So he had great compassion for them. And so he would do anything, just about, we'll come back to that phrase, but he would do mostly anything to adapt his life to where they were at. Recently, I was so encouraged when I heard that a BCFer, one of ours from the church, wanted to bridge into the life of one of his neighbor who was not a Christian. And so he knew that this neighbor had just published an article. Have you ever written some of these published articles that some of these people write? It's not like it's on the top 10 New York Times best read list. Okay? You know what he did? He went out and got it. And he read it. He spent the time to try to understand the world in which his neighbor lives by just going through this article. Why did he do it? Because he loved them. Because he had compassion for them. It didn't see him as a project. It was a way to build a bridge to his life and to pull him to where he was at in this new kingdom. But just making adaptations just so that we connect, that's not where it stops. We adapt ultimately because we want to share the gospel. You can make all the adaptations and accommodations that you want, but if you never tell people about Jesus, you're missing the point. And so this same idea of adapting our lives also applies in the way we communicate the gospel. The way I communicate the gospel and the way you communicate the gospel to a child is going to be different than the way we communicate the gospel to a college student. The way we communicate the gospel to somebody who came from a religious background but has fallen away from the church is going to be different than somebody who is a committed Muslim. And so we have to think about the person, the soul that we're trying to reach. And we never compromise on the gospel. Never. Jesus is the way. But there's many ways to Jesus. And the way we communicate to people, the way we adapt our words, is so important to get people to the message of the gospel. And you know who knows this well? By the way, it's not just one group who knows this idea of adaptability. All of you know it because you do it all the time. You do it at work. You know that one colleague responds a certain way versus another one. You know that this one over here, you just tell him or her what you need done. That's it. No details. Go. Here's the project. See ya. This person over here, they just need lots of details. They have lots of questions. And you know that. If you have an inch of any interpersonal skills, you know that. Parents, you know that. You're not treating your teenager the way you treated him when he was 5 or 6, you adapted. And you know who knows this best of anyone? The coaches in the room. The teachers in the room. They've got a whole team of athletes, or they've got a whole classroom of students. And they know that group all comes to the table with different experiences and different knowledge levels. And what do? They know the child, or they know the athlete so well that they can adapt their lesson adapt the principle so that that young person could understand it. It's that idea, and you know how to do it. And the idea is taking that principle and applying it to evangelism. Okay, so that's characteristic number one, adaptability. Now, at some point, if maybe not now, but at some point, if you think about this idea of adapting or accommodating, you're going to come up with this question. This could get messy real fast, right? It can, for many reasons. Number one is because you're bridging and you're going back into this world. This is messy. Hey, it's messy here, but let's just say it's a little bit messier here, okay? It's messy. And so what can potentially happen if you, as a follower of Jesus Christ, attempt to build bridges over here? Well, you could get so close to this world that you start emulating them. You see how that could happen? Their language, their values, all the things that God has saved us from. You start messing around over here, it has the potential to then have an adverse effect on your life and my life. So how do we deal with that? Well, that's characteristic number two, which is fidelity. Fidelity. Characteristic number one was adaptability. Number two was fidelity, meaning faithfulness to God's word. We have God's word to help us. Look at verse 21, where we see this phrase in parentheses that highlights how far we can adapt our lives into the lives of others. Okay, we probably missed it when we read it, but it's very important. Look at verse 21. Paul said, to those outside the law, I became as one outside the law. Then here's the phrase in parentheses. Not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ. Do you see that? Not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ. What do we see about our relationship to the law as we build bridges to this domain? Paul's saying, hey, listen, the law still is important. Not the dietary law that some are using in order to try to earn their salvation. That's not the law he's talking about. He's talking about the moral law. For example, the Ten Commandments, or at least nine of the ten, because other than the Sabbath day, nine of those are repeated by Jesus. So in Paul's mind, he's saying, hey, we're not just completely punting on the law. The law is important. So, for example, if I'm bridging into this world and I want to have a prison ministry, I'm not going to become a carjacker because the Eighth Commandment tells me not to steal. And so I am under the law. And then in addition to that, we learn that we are under the law of Christ. Which means what? The law of Christ is the teaching of Christ. That can be best summarized this way, that we're to love others. That's the law of Christ. We're to love others. And Paul puts it this way, this idea of the law of Christ in Galatians 5, 13 and 14. For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So how does that apply to this idea of winning souls, especially as it relates to entering the life of unbelievers? There will be times that out of love for God and love for those who we're trying to reach, where we will just have to take a step back and say, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I just can't. Paul did it. How come in Acts chapter 17, he tells Timothy, go get circumcised. But then in Galatians 2, he tells Titus, don't get circumcised. Because in one case, it was to bridge into this kingdom. In the case of Titus, it was gospel. They were messing around with the gospel. They were saying, you got to get circumcised to be saved. And Paul said, no, we're not going there. That's too far. I've got God's word. I've got the law of Christ. I know grace. No, I'm not making that adaptation this time. And so we've got God's word as our guide and our light. And I'm especially aware of those of you who are college students. If you take this seriously and you're really trying to bridge the gap into the lives of people who are not saved, there's going to be times when you say, I'm sorry, I can't go to that party. It's not going to be good for me. I can't do it. I'm sorry, I can't go to that club. I can't. I can't watch that show. Because there is such a close line. It's razor thin between adaptation and seduction. You know what I mean by that? You adapt. Think of it as a top of a cabin. You adapt. You get to that top. But you know what? You make one wrong move and you're seduced. We need God's word. This is tough stuff. This ain't easy. How do we grow in our calling to win souls? Characteristic number one, adaptability. Characteristic number two, fidelity. Our last characteristic, generosity. Generosity. Look at verse 23. I do it all for the sake of the gospel. That's why he's doing it. Why is he giving up his rights? Why is he forsaking his rights? I do it all for the sake of the gospel. Then he goes on, that I might share. That word share just caught my attention. That I might share with them, and the them there are the unbelievers that fall into those four categories, in its blessings. The Apostle Paul in this verse explains why he becomes all things to all people. It's the why again. And the answer is for the sake of their souls. He loves them. We should love them. And then he gets to the heart of his motives when he says that I might share. Share. Do we forget about sharing? It's so emphasized, right, when we were in kindergarten, but do we forget as adults? We need to share. As Christians, we need to share. And the one thing that we need to share most is our faith in Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul, he was so blessed by the gospel, and his life was so moved by the grace of God in Jesus Christ that he was compelled to share it with others. He didn't see this group as projects. He didn't see them as annoyances. He didn't see them as inconveniences. He saw them as souls. As souls. When's the last time you saw your colleague or your neighbor? Hi, Mr. Jones. When's the last time you saw him as a soul? When's the last time I saw my neighbor? Not as somebody who doesn't take care of his grass, but as a soul that needs Jesus. And Paul's generosity and his desire to win souls was a reflection of the generosity that was demonstrated by Jesus himself. He's just following in the footsteps of Jesus. What did Jesus do? Jesus gave. He gave of himself. He poured out his life in order that you and I might be ransomed from this kingdom and brought into this kingdom over here. Jesus is a Lord who shares and who gives us of himself. And Jesus, 2,000 years ago, he entered our world and he entered our mess and he entered our confusion. And the entire time he interacted with humanity, he did so without ever compromising in his obedience to the law. God's word was a lamp unto his feet and a light unto his path. He followed it. He did that. He got right to that razor thin edge and just walked it obediently, perfectly, his entire life. And he did it because he wanted to rescue you and me from our sins and share his love with us. And now in turn, we can imitate Christ by sharing the gospel with others. It is a marvelous thing to be a Christian. It is amazing that God, in his grace and mercy, would take you and me and transfer us from this kingdom. We don't deserve it. And transfer us from this kingdom and bring us over here. And it's so easy for us to forget not only where we were, but these people over here. And the message from this passage today is win those souls. Win them. Build bridges into their life so that you can bring them with you. Be adaptable. Be faithful to the Word of God. Be generous with your time and with your money. Win souls. Let's pray. I'm going to pray in a second. I just want you to think of a non-believer in your life. Either a neighbor, colleague, family member, somebody in your life who you know does not know Jesus Christ. And I just want you to think about that person. And I want you to pray for that person, that God would save them. And I want you to ask the Lord to give you the boldness and the courage to build a bridge into their life. Father, none of us are up to this task. Sharing our faith is not easy. Makes us nervous. We don't like to be rejected. But God, please give us a heart for those who are in the kingdom of darkness, and especially for those who are in our minds right now. Lord, help us to speak into their lives, to love them enough to win their soul. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.